My name is Keith Campbell. I'm a professor of psychology at the University of Georgia. My day job, the new book is called The New Science of Narcissism, which I wrote with the help of Carolyn Crisp, who is a local journalist here and writes for Reuters. And website would be wkeithcampbell.com or narcissismlab.com.
Why do you think it's important for the regular person to understand narcissism?
It manifests itself in your ego, and that manifests itself in every aspect of your life. So when people struggle with narcissism, they see it interfere with their close relationships, with their family, love. They see it interfere with their workplace, you know, say about the narcissistic boss. They see it interfere with their political life, with narcissistic leaders. They see it on television and everywhere because we have narcissistic entertainers. Narcissism appears in all these different facets of life, and for good or for ill. And I think understanding it can be helpful, make you a little happier, suffer a little less.
What did you discover about narcissists that we didn't know before?
Well, there's a couple things that I think are really interesting that we've really dialed in the last 10 years. And one is this distinction between grandiose narcissism and vulnerable narcissism. The idea that there's some folks out there we talk about as narcissistic or arrogant and driven and maybe charismatic and sort of entertaining. And they're one group of people. And when they go to bed at night, they feel pretty good about themselves. It's relatively high self-esteem. And there's another group of people who think they don't get the attention they deserve. They think they're better than other people, but they're a little bit shy. They're a little anxious. They can get angry sometimes. They're not getting attention. And they end up going into therapy because of maybe anxiety or depression or problems fitting in with the world. And we talk about those as more vulnerable narcissists. They're more thin-skinned. They're brittle. And there are these two different groups of people that share the label of narcissism that makes it really confusing. And keeping them separate makes it much simpler. So that's a big breakthrough, I think. Other one that's really important is separating what I'm talking about, which is a personality trait of narcissism. We've all got some of it, some more than others. And a clinical disorder or psychiatric disorder, which is called narcissistic personality disorder, which is a rare form when you have very extreme narcissism and it really interferes with your life clinically. It can become a disorder, but that's different. The same way having major depressive disorder is different than being depressed. And so it's important to keep those things separate when we think about narcissism.
Do all types of narcissists have this insatiable quality about them?
At the core of all forms of narcissism is this sense of specialness, the sense of entitlement, the sense that I should be better than other people and deserve special treatment. And that's where you get that feeling that it's insatiable, because you can never have enough. You can never be rich enough. You can never be powerful enough or attractive enough. It's just never enough. So that quality is there across forms. In the grandiose form, when you see people who are successful and are extroverted, they're often very nice and charming because they're succeeding at getting what they think they deserve. Yeah. With the more vulnerable form, when they're not succeeding, you see the anger and irritability and blame that they project on everyone because they're not getting the praise they think they deserve.
Do many narcissists have the quality of it's my way or the highway?
That is a kind of foundational to a lot of narcissism, because what happens in a lot of our human interaction is we have to make the choice. Is it going to be about me or someone else? So my kid's really sick. Do I pick her up in my car and hope she throws up in my car? Do I pick her up in my wife's car because I don't want my car wrecked? You know, do I work an extra 2 hours to try to get a promotion so I feel good about myself? Or do I leave work early to go to my kid's soccer game? And we have these decisions to make all the time in life. And sometimes you got to do what's best for you, you know, because it's going to help your kid in the long run. Sometimes you do what's best for your kid. Narcissism is always at the crux of that choice of doing what's best for yourself versus the other.
I was interested in when I read your Psychology Today article about the pandemic, how the pandemic might have affected how narcissists operate.
Yeah, I find it really interesting because when I study narcissism, and where you see it really effective is interpersonal conflict, competitive conflict. So when you see it with classic bragging of fighters, you know, that Muhammad Ali back in the day, even, where you get people scurrying off each other and calling each other names and taunting, and we kind of enjoy that in competition. with a pandemic, there's no other person. It's not social. Yeah. So with people who are narcissistic, when they use those same social techniques, I'm going to belittle the pandemic. I'm going to make it look stupid. I'm going to do this. Not if it works, because it's just reality. It's just nature. And so, you know, the pandemic, like a lot of natural consequences, it doesn't care about anybody's ego. And so it makes narcissistic people look foolish.
And sort of taking off on that idea, social media and narcissism and the association between the two of those.
Oh, yeah. So one thing you find with narcissism and relationships is that people who are narcissistic, especially grandiose folks, they're really well suited at having lots and lots of shallow relationships, and they're poorly suited at having a few emotionally intimate, emotionally close, or warm relationships. They really gravitate to sort of to this broad, shallow network. And so what social media does is it allows somebody to have a lot of a very large, shallow network. You can have hundreds or thousands or millions of followers or friends or whatever you want to call them, depending on the network. And then you're able to curate what you put out there and get feedback. And the feedback you get is usually positive. I mean, they design it so you get hearts, but you don't get bombs.
Right.
You can see who gives you feedback and not. So they've set these things up so you're going to get positive feedback. So social media is very attractive to people who are narcissistic. They have more connections on it. I think of narcissists as sort of the builders of a lot of social media, not the only builders. A lot of it is sharing information and sharing humor and a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, but that ego sharing is such a big part of it. That narcissism, it's very hard to imagine social networks without narcissists.
I found it hard to believe that anyone would have an easy time of loving a narcissist.
It's the time course is the key. So when we have relationships, let's say, I mean, I'm happily married, but let's say I'm single again. I go out and meet somebody and I find somebody's attractive and energetic and exciting. And I go, I'm in love. This person's awesome. And then a few months later, I'm like, you know, let's really get to know each other. Let's really talk about our future. And all of a sudden, that person's not that interested in that. And I go, what am I doing wrong? And they're all of a sudden, they're interested in hitting on one of my friends. I'm like, why are you hitting on my friends? I thought you loved me. They're like, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm an idiot. Well, the problem wasn't that the person was narcissistic at the beginning of the relationship. That was great. The problem is I wanted a meaningful, deep, emotionally intimate relationship, and that person wasn't really interested in it or capable of it. Yeah. So the challenge with narcissism isn't when you're looking for something that you're not going to get, like emotional intimacy in a relationship or trust and deep collaboration in a work relationship or whatever. You're just not going to get that as much. You'll get a lot of shallow, fun things, though, which is why it works. If narcissism were all bad, it would just be minimized in society rather than sort of celebrated.
So can a narcissist change?
Yeah, that's another one of these things we've been seeing in the scientific literature and personality for the last 10, 15 years is that it seems like people can change. And it seems like people can change throughout the life course. People can change their personality when they're old, when they're young. Obviously, when we're young, we change more than we're old, but we change the whole time. The challenge with narcissism is that people often don't have the motivation to change because they think they're doing pretty well. So I think about it this way. You know, I can be anxious and depressed. I don't like being an anxious person. I would love to change that, but it's really hard to change. And so I try, but it's hard to do. Now imagine I'm narcissistic. I feel pretty good, but I go, you know, I'd like to be a little more humble. I'd probably have better time with my family. But I'm not that motivated to change. It's going to be really hard to do. And when you look at the research of narcissism and therapy, narcissistic personality disorder, the problem is dropout rate. People just drop out at a much higher level than they will with things like depression or anxiety.
I've heard also that some therapists, if they find out that you're really a big narcissist, they could drop you.
Well, I kind of kept that out of the book, but that is legit. Where people that, you know, you're going to therapy with somebody and they find you have, I mean, this is true with a lot of personality disorders, but narcissism is a big one. When they figure this out after some sessions, they go, you know what, this is going to be a harder case. Maybe I should find somebody who's really an expert at personality disorders to deal with this. And this is a real problem because I get contacted by people who are narcissistic or think they have narcissistic personality disorder and they want treatment. It's very hard to find people who will do that outside of, say, New York or maybe San Francisco or LA, the big cities. There really aren't experts at this.
So why did you personally concentrate your life's work on narcissism?
I mean, it's just such a boring story, I hate to tell you, but there's just a lot of ego and a lot of interest in ego. As people, we spend a lot of time pumping ourselves up. So we have all these effects in psychology, better than average effect. We tend to think we're better than average. Self-serving bias. We tend to take credit for success and blame our teachers when we fail tests. And, you know, we do all these things. And I wanted to understand this better. And it turned out that people who are narcissistic do these things a lot. So it was an interesting way to understand some very basic processes that were more theoretical, more scientific. And then when I started looking at the world, you know, Columbine happened. I'm like, oh, my God, this is narcissism. And then, you know, social media and selfies. And it just, it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving and you wish it would stop. But that's what studying narcissism has been.
So it wasn't like your grandmother was a narcissist or something.
No, it's nothing like that at all. I mean, I was, you know, I wanted to be a Buddhist when I was a kid. I was going to study the non-self. I just couldn't do it. It was too hard. But ego is easy to see. It's easy to discover. And so I just started doing it and how it turned out.
But that's like the other side of the same coin, isn't it? I mean, Buddhism and that's fascinating.
Yeah, I look at it as different sides of the same coin. With narcissism, you can see the narcissistic ego, the self, very easily. When somebody very narcissistic is at a party, you can watch them brag and show off and how they get attention. You watch them hit on people, watch them do all the, you know, show the material goods. You can see all this stuff, and it's really easy to see and interesting. But we all have egos, and we're all doing this kind of stuff, maybe not extreme, but we're all doing it. And so I think understanding narcissism allows us to understand how we all can maybe get too ego attached, too ego involved, and maybe let go of that a little bit.
Anything you want to add that I may not have asked you about that occurs to you, you want to mention?
Not that I can think of, because this topic is so big, because narcissism can kind of worm its way into all these different aspects of our lives. It's really an issue of where do you want to go with it and where you need to go.
Well, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me and at least scratching the surface of this topic. Thanks.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's very interesting and very broad.